dream the other night that, well, I didn't understand. A figure walked in through the mist with a flintlock in his hand. His clothes were torn and dirty as he stood there by my bed. He took off his three-cornered hat, and speaking low to me, he said, "We fought a revolution to secure our liberty. We wrote the Constitution as a shield from tyranny. For future generations, this legacy we gave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. The freedoms we secured for you, we hoped you'd always keep. But tyrants labored endlessly while your parents were asleep. Your freedom's gone, your courage lost, you're no more than a slave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. You buy permits to travel and permits to own a gun. Permits to start a business or to build a place for one. On land that you believe you own, you pay a yearly rent, although you have no voice in saying how the money's spent. Your children must attend a school that doesn't educate, and your Christian values can't be taught according to the state. You read about the current news in a regulated press, and you pay a tax you do not owe to please the IRS. Your money is no longer made of silver nor of gold. You trade your wealth for paper so your life can be controlled. You pay for crimes that make our nation turn from God in shame. You've taken Satan's number. You've traded in your name. You've given government control to those who do you harm so they could burn down churches and seize the family farm and keep our country deep in debt. Put men of God in jail. Harass your fellow countrymen while corrupted courts prevail. Your public servants don't uphold the solemn oaths they've sworn. And your daughters visit doctors so their children won't be born. Your leaders send artillery and guns to foreign shores and send your sons to slaughter fighting other people's wars. Can you regain the freedoms for which we fought and died? Or don't you have the courage or the faith to stand with pride? And are there no more values for which you'll fight to save? Or do you wish your children to live in fear and be a slave? Oh, sons of the Republic, arise, take a stand. Defend the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. Preserve our great republic and each God-given right. And pray to God to keep the torch of freedom burning bright. As I awoke, he'd vanished in the mist from whence he came. His words were true. We are not free, but we have ourselves to blame. For even now as tyrants trample each God-given right, we only watch and tremble, too afraid to stand and fight. If he stood by your bedside in a dream while you were asleep and wondered what remains of the freedoms he'd fought to keep, what would be your answer if he called out from the grave? Is this still the land of the free and home of the brave? God bless you, and God bless this republic.
Well, good morning, America. I should say good afternoon, depending on where you live. It's a great day. This is Tim Wingate here on the Ed and Elaine Brown Under Siege show, here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is Thursday, August 2nd. Boy, a lot of stuff happened in history. We'll get to that in a little bit. Anyway, I'm wondering, do we have Elaine on yet?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
There you are. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. I'm well. We had a good time the other night. My wife and I, we were taken out to dinner by some friends of ours.
Oh, how nice.
And, well, yeah, it's a nice occasion to do something like that. And we were went to a, oh, now these are Chinese Americans, these friends of ours. And we went to a Vietnamese place. Oh, talk about goofy food. Well, anyway, folks, we'll be back after the break with Elaine and Tim here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Stick with us. We got some fun stuff to talk about. All right, America. Tim Wingate here on Republic Broadcasting Network with Elaine. So, Elaine, how are things going with you over there?
Things are very quiet, very peaceful.
Okay.
Since Saturday night, the only activity we've had is, the occasional airplane or helicopter circling overhead.
Mm-hmm.
It was yesterday, I think, state police plane circled for half an hour.
Uh-huh.
But it's been very quiet, very nice.
Checking things out. I was musing the other day with somebody. We were talking about your circumstance there and whether or not it was police out there or somebody trying to just rile you up, doing an exploratory excursion to see what kind of reaction would occur. There's also the concern that there have been some simultaneous hacks on websites that have been supportive. And my phones, which are based on Vonage, are occasionally screwing up as well, and I'm figuring, well, okay, spooks are at it, possibly.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like the Wizard of Oz. I do believe in spooks.
Well, from what I hear, the feds have stated that they were not here, so...
So they said, I still hold open the possibility, knowing what a rambunctious teenager.
It could be either way. Who knows? We'll probably never know.
Doesn't make any difference. But we were sitting around musing and thinking about some of the things that you folks could do to just have some fun with them to some degree, and that is go out and just on a basis of just haphazard randomness, go out there on the property and bury stuff. Just, dig holes. Put stuff in and then throw it, cover it back up. It'd be very interesting to see.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about it, I had mentioned about doing a crop circle out there, or something like that. And it'd be very interesting to see what kind of attention that would gather.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, at a certain point, it becomes absurd
on their part. Yeah, it does. So.
Well, great. Right. I mentioned that before the break that today is August 2nd, and there were a number of things that occurred on this day in history that actually is significant for us. Most people don't realize it, but back in 1886, today, August 2nd, the Oleomargarine Act established the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. And it established their laboratory system. And the question is, who would have thought that such an innocent act is trying to protect the dairy industry from competition would later be part of an organization that resulted in Waco.
I'm confused. What has one to do with the other?
Well, it started off alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, but it was the laboratory that was originally established. And it eventually grew into this massive organization that Aaron Zellman and the people from Jews for the Preservation of Firearm Ownership have called the Gang. And it's a wonderful video. We showed it last Tuesday night at our Freedom Force meeting here in the Chicago area. And it's an excellent, excellent DVD, folks. If you get a chance to get it, I suggest you go to jpfo.org and order a copy, because it is definitely shows you exactly how the government has gone out of control, that this is a rogue agency within the government. They do not even have standard operating procedures to determine if something is in violation of the law. All this stuff about a database and keeping track of people is a bunch of hooey. And basically all they have done is eliminate, I think there was like 250,000 at one time, independent gun dealers. It's now down to below 60,000 gun dealers.
Yeah, they put a lot out.
They put a lot out of business.
I can't get it out.
I know it.
Okay. I hear Ed in the background. How you doing, Ed?
He's trying to fix somebody's car that overheated on the way in.
Oh, Lord. I hate, in this kind of weather, too. This is the time for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I used to have an old car, and I ran without a thermostat in the summertime.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm talking about an old car. We're talking about a car from the 50s, and I was a teenager at the time.
Yeah.
So I just ran it without a thermostat. I didn't put a thermostat in until winter in the old car. And, because it seemed like some of those old cars always ran hot. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But back to the BATF in this movie, The Gang, I encourage folks out there listening to get a hold of a copy of this and watch it. You'll see why we have a philosophical and a moral duty and a premise to resist these thugs in what they're doing and how they're doing it. Something else happened also back in 1937 on this day, the Marijuana Tax Act that called for $20,000 fine and 20 years imprisonment for possession of marijuana without legal fiscal transfer stamp. And this basically, those who do research and have done hemp research know good and well that this was primarily the excuse to start to defund and undercut the hemp industry in favor of the large chemical manufacturers such as DuPont.
Yeah.
Because hemp is something that is a renewable resource. It doesn't take any great expertise to grow it.
It has a zillion uses, too.
It's a marvelous plant.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the stuff that has about, literally, you'd have to smoke a grocery bag full of this stuff to cop a buzz, in the term, the slang, because there's not enough tick or THC in the industrial hemp plant to create a problem. And I don't know if you know this, Elaine, but recently, you remember all the nutritional stuff that hemp seed is very good, very nutritious, excellent for you, but the DEA was just absolutely adamant with the FDA that they would not allow any hemp-based foods into the American into America, because it would throw off all the drug testing if you're eating a hemp nutrition bar and you had to do a drug test.
Oh, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
More examples. They've banned ephedra.
Yeah.
For different reasons, of course. But, I mean, ephedra is a wonderful bronchodilator. It's one of the best things for asthma.
Yes. Yes. And I noticed that there's a couple of farmers, a group of farmers out in, I believe it's South Dakota, who have now sued to be able to grow industrial hemp. And I know where all that is going at this point. I don't know what that is, but it's the inconsistency and the hypocrisy in FedGov at this point is just absolutely ridiculous. This is illustrated by the Hatch Act, which was passed on this day in 1939, which supposedly bars U.S. federal employees from taking an active role in political campaigns. Right. So I would love to see FedGov enforce the Hatch Act as much as they enforce the hemp act, or the marijuana laws, and the BATF laws. See, we have this inconsistency that's there. But I wanted to point out one other one that is just absolutely one of my favorite stories, and something I think that is absolutely relevant to your situation as well as other places around the country. On this day in 1946, the Battle of Athens, and it's the Athens, Tennessee, if I remember correct, I thought it was Georgia, but I could be wrong. Some of the ex-GIs in Athens, Tennessee, disturbed that the freedom that they had fought for was being severely abused by a corrupt local government, a corrupt sheriff, police department, local government, and they took up arms against the local police and restored the democratic process. The Battle of Athens is something that you can Google and look up, and you get the whole story. And that's one of the rare occasions in our country where the citizens said, enough's enough. They were armed, and they went and they took over. And there was a bit of a shootout, too. I don't know how many fatalities occurred from there, if any. But that was a one of the good things that happened. And this is something that, you know, we have kind of bantered about before, is that people being armed and taking up arms for protection, as well as when you have a rogue local governmental system, it may take the local, now we'll use the phrase loosely, militia, because it's, you know, you have official terminology for that, as well as we'll say loose common use for that, militia being any armed person, citizen that joins together. Whether you want to call them constitutional rangers or militias of the several states or individuals, we find that these things are important to secure our liberties. And we're going to get into kind of a little bit of what's happened and what we can do that's practical to save our liberties, folks. When we get back from the break, Tim and Elaine on the Republic Broadcasting System. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. Stick with us. All right, welcome back. Tim Wingate here with Elaine Living Soul, commonly known as Brown. You are you ready for the Bush joke of the day?
Always.
Well, this is not quite a joke. But it is dealing with the situation. I don't know if you know this or not, but just as of recently, U.S. Congress has voted to outsource the presidency. They've announced that the office of the president will be outsourced to India as of September 1st, 2007. And this is being done to save the president's $500,000 a year salary and the record $521 trillion in deficit expenditures that's related to his office over the last 6 years or so. So he's been informed, Mr. Bush has been informed by email this morning of his termination, and preparations for the job move have been underway for some time. Now, the gentleman who will be replacing him is Govinder Singh of Indus Teleservices in Mumbai, India, and he'll be assuming the office of president as of September 1st, 2007. Now, Mr. Singh was born in the United States while his parents were vacationing at Niagara Falls. Thus, he's eligible to be president without a change in the Constitution, and he's only going to get about $320 a month with no health coverage or any other benefits. And they believe that he'll be able to handle his job from India without a support staff. And due to the time difference between U.S. and India, he'll be working primarily at night when few offices of the government will be open. Now, Mr. Singh will rely on a script tree that will enable him to respond effectively to most topics of concern. And using these canned responses, he can address common concerns without having to understand any of the underlying issues. And we know that the people say that the spokesperson says, we know these scripts work because they've been working for years with other businesses that have outsourced to India. Now, Mr. Bush will receive his health coverage, expenses, and salary until his final day of employment. Following a two-week waiting period, he'll be eligible for $140 a week unemployment for 13 weeks. He'll not be eligible for Medicaid. And his unemployment benefits will exceed the allowed limit. Mr. Bush has been provided the outplacement service of Manpower to help him write a resume and prepare for his upcoming job transition. And according to Manpower, Mr. Bush may have difficulties in securing a new position due to limited practical or successful work experience. and they suggest a greeter position at Walmart due to his extensive experience in shaking hands as well as his goofy smile. Wouldn't that be hilarious if they actually did something like that?
Oh, it couldn't be any worse.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to point out, that as of Tuesday, July 31st, 2007, the Miami Herald actually published a story by Mark Caputo that the state of Florida voting machines, their Diebold optical readers, can be hacked by somebody working on the inside and can change votes. Yeah. So this is something, I mean, this isn't coming out of the Patriot News stream, folks. This is right out, you know, Miami Herald talking about this openly there in Florida. And, you know, with the elections coming up and all this other stuff and the straw polls that are using optical scanners now in some of these other electronic voting machines, along with the primaries that are coming up, we don't know. We don't know what the votes are going to be. And we know from the last two presidential elections that there is definitely some kind of scamming going on.
Yeah. You know, so, going back to your commentary about the Athens, Tennessee incident, it's sad that an incident like that is a rare happening in this country. That should be commonplace, you know? And then we wouldn't need it as badly, because the administrators would tell the line a lot better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is part of the problem, is that we don't have these things on a, on a regular basis.
Yeah. You know, my brother was with LAPD for 20-some years. And he was all for gun ownership by the citizens. He said it made their job a lot easier, because where people had firearms, the crime rate was so much lower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in general, he told me, in general, police are very much against gun control. At least they used to be. I don't know what today's atmosphere is like.
You know, people don't seem to understand the affront to, and this goes back, as I was referencing before, to that The Gang movie by JPFO, that it's ridiculous that we have legislation and regulation on firearm ownership when it comes to the Second Amendment, when in the First Amendment, do we have a Bureau of Religious Control? You know, do we have free speech boards?
Yeah, we do now.
Well, yeah, we're getting to that point. Anyway, folks, stick with us here. We'll be back after the break, Tim and Elaine, and we will be getting to the source and the root of this problem, the Illuminati, and result that other groups associated with them. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, America. We're back. We're going to rally around the Browns here. So, Elaine, I want to give you a shot here. Anything that you want to relay to your loving American public?
Well, fortunately, all has been peaceful. All has been quiet.
Good.
And, you know, as always, friends come and go. Some come for a couple of hours, some come for a couple of weeks.
And that's the thing, folks. You know, it's summertime, good traveling time. It'd be a good thing to head out to the Browns, bring some provisions and things to share and make life good. I can tell you this much, folks, being at a couple times being in a situation where we had power off and cut off from supplies and a major snowstorm, you know, where you're kind of dug in for a while. Teepee, you can never run out of enough toilet paper. Bring you the Browns teepee.
You know, that's funny because that's my big thing. You know, I read the book Patriot and Unintended Consequences.
Yes.
And in the Patriot, the first thing they ran out of was toilet paper. I got a nice big stack downstairs.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, but you can run through it pretty quick. So, folks, if you're heading out to New Hampshire, make sure you, and come on, don't be cheap. Go buy some of the good stuff and just buy a carton of it and bring it along with. There you go.
Fortunately, most of our visitors are male, so we don't go through toilet paper as fast as if we had a lot of women in the house.
Well, there you go. There you go. That's true. And anyway, we won't go that whole direction. We'll leave it at that. I wanted to touch on something because I've been doing a little research on my own, and I'm going to give some credit to Ed on this. I really have to, because he sparked in me to go back and take a look at the nature of who's behind all of this. And I'm the kind of person who does not want to waste time hacking at the branches when you can strike at the root. Paraphrase Thoreau. We need to, because I'm a logician and somebody who's been schooled in logic and understanding argumentation and the science of argumentation, you look at the premises first. You know, why waste your time with the building and how the building looks when you look at the foundation, and if it's the foundation that's faulty? Well, that's the same idea of looking who's behind the scenes. And
right.
other people have used the analogy of the puppeteer. Don't be fighting against the puppets who are controlled by strings. You need to be who's influencing the puppeteer who's pulling the strings. And when we take a look at, you know, who's behind what, I started to do another dig into the powers that be, as I like to call them. PTB, that's it, powers that be, PTB, that they used to use on the old Buffy the Vampire Slayer program. Anyway, here's something I need. Have you ever read Professor Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, book? And I know most people have. It's the most, one of the most quoted books within the patriot community, and people, especially during the Clinton years, always wanted to, you know, go back and talk about the Quigley book. Even Rush Limbaugh, back in those days, was talking about Professor Quigley and his viewpoints. But I have actually found very few people who have even bothered to pick up the book, and it's a hefty book. There's around over 1,300 pages to this.
Whoa.
To this book. And I dug mine out to take a look at it again and really get a view. And the reason Tragedy and Hope is so important, folks, because it goes to the heart of the matter. This was written by a professor who is allowed to examine documentation, to interview people, who's in favor of the oligarchy, the world oligarchy, the ruling order, the ruling elite, whatever terminology you want to give to them. He's in favor, and he writes in this book favorably toward them. And this is why it's important to understand what he writes in his book and how he describes what's going on to understand what's happening in our country. One of the things that we need to understand in our country is that, much like at the time of the Revolution, you had people that were divided. You either were for American independence, or you were a Tory and you wanted America to stay underneath the British crown, or you were somewhere waffling in the middle. And we are in the same situation in this country today.
Right.
Are we going to be part of the New World Order? Let's just put it that way. We'll just call it the New World Order. And the global elite running a form of mercantile fascism over the rest of the world, including this country? Or are we going to be for freedom and liberty and independence? according to what the Constitution tried to lay down, definitely according to what the Articles of Confederation tried to exemplify, and all this was based on the Declaration of Independence. Which side are you going to be on? And what's happened is we start to see the squeezing of the middle class and people losing jobs and the economy starting to tank, the housing industry, which is one of the major parts of the economy, along with the auto building business. As these things start to tank, people are wondering, what are we going to do? And it's so much easier to pressure people into the situation where to go with whoever is going to feed them.
Yeah. And
that's the situation that we're facing. And you out there listening, you're going to have to make the decision. Which side are you going to be on? Now, there's a lot more to this, and I don't want to get too far into this, but I decided to go into this early on as a young man, Elaine. I went into it from a skeptical point of view. I wanted to say, okay, you know, I can understand worldwide satanic conspiracy. I mean, I was raised as in a Bible thumper family, and I understood these concepts, but I wanted to approach it at least philosophically. I wanted to approach it in such a way that I was a little bit more objective than emotional.
Uh-huh.
And so I started to examine and study. And Robeson's book, Proof of a Conspiracy, written way back 200 years ago, excellent, excellent book. I suggest anybody pick that up. 200 years ago he was talking about this kind of stuff. So I think there's overwhelming evidence that there has been, or there are, people behind the scenes trying to control things, working as puppeteers. One of the more interesting things that has come out as of late are people who have defected from the other side to the side of liberty. How they've defected, where they've gone, how this always happens, each one has a different story. But there's a common link within all these stories, and it has to do with ritual child abuse. It seems to be one of the ways that they start to train. And there's a lady who goes by the name of Savali, and she has supposedly come forward. A number of people, credible people, have investigated her story and her claims. They feel that it is basically true, and she's basically pulled back the curtain, if you will, to understand who is behind the system and what's the mindset of the Illuminatists and the people that are behind there. What she says is that then every major metropolitan area, they're there, and they're there through the banks and the financial institutions, and local government is infiltrated. This, you know, as I started to get into this, I started to realize, you know, this is kind of scary, because we don't know how many moles that we have amongst us. And I was looking at, as she goes on and she describes the mentality and the mindset that these people get into. She deals with some very specific things. But what I was interested in is, how does this happen? How do people do it? Well, apparently from a very early age, this is almost like a religion for people. In many ways, it is a religion for them. They train their children up in this mentality. And the mentality is that you can abuse those below you, and those people above your rank can abuse you. You are out for your own. Greed, egoism, conflict, division is all what it's about. Because the whole idea is to create chaos, and it's planned chaos, so that they can create order out of that. That's why, folks, you have so many people on the internet and in the patriot communities warning us, be careful. Be careful about how we do the resistance to FedGov. Because if it creates a situation by which they can use the excuse of insurrection, they will then clamp down with martial law. Now, that'll cause a reaction, too. My dad taught me years ago, Elaine, that you just don't look at the action. And you just don't look at the reaction to the action. You look at the reaction to the reaction to the action to find out exactly what's going on. Because these people are expert manipulators of human emotions. And let's say the mass person, the sheeple in the middle, so to speak. But one of the things that this also that Savali talked about was the family and how they trained young people. And she literally says that here's how it's done. When a child is 2 years old, they will train the child, even against the child's wishes, to kill a small animal. And the child may cry. They punish the child until the child eventually is able to kill on command. And they train children to go into a state, what they call is a disassociative state, where you're almost denying what's going on. You're living one way in public and another way in private. And they train these people to separate, so to speak, almost become two personalities. And some people call that psychotic. And the whole idea is, she says, within the whole Illuminati bunch and this group that are running things, is that most of them are wounded and abuse victims, and they don't realize it's possible to leave the group. Now, I know from fact here in the Chicago area, I knew of a gentleman, I knew him, met with him several times, who got involved in investigating some of this stuff in the Chicago area, and quite frankly, he disappeared. We don't know what happened to him. We suspect he either went to Europe and disappeared, or he's down in the bottom of Lake Michigan there somewhere. We're not really sure what it is, but when you start to go after these people, I guess the point I'm trying to get across is that you have to look at the spirit and the nature of what's going on. People that are interested in truth and in justice, that are interested in transparency, who are interested in personal accountability for actions, who are looking further down the line for the good of not only their children, but the nation as a whole, and preserving liberty and freedom, and they're not using fear tactics. They're not using manipulation. Those are the people that seem to be on the side of light, whereas those who use the opposite of those tactics, they use fear, and they use emotional manipulation, and they cause division, and they cause problems, and they're always wanting to get people to attack each other. Those people seem to be falling into that camp of always causing division, always backbiting, trying to climb up over the bodies of the others above you can pull down. And that's from a attitude of what's right and what's wrong. This goes internally to why we do what we do. And in your case, Elaine, you and Ed have been just totally open, straightforward, holding up what's right, and just simply backed out and said, that's it. The system's corrupt. We're no longer going to participate in this.
Yeah.
And you haven't hidden anything. And
no, I know. You know, we're aware that from time to time they send in these provocateurs, you know, feds pretending to be something other than what they are. But, you know, we say, let them come in, because they're not going to learn anything that we haven't already said. Like you said, we've been totally open with everything, and none of them has anything further to learn from us. So, you know, why bother? So that, you know, the fact that they're most likely coming in pretending to be someone else really doesn't bother us that much.
Yeah. When you really are, let's say, open to the light, the child, you know, and I don't want to, I know, folks, light, Illuminati, and all these terminologies, they get intermixed. Let's just say, if you really are a child of God, the concept is that there's peace, there's love, There's people working together, people that are complementing each other. They're not trying to undermine each other's efforts. They're working together for the common good, and that is liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Liberty and freedom for all.
Right.
That other
stuff you're just describing, my gosh, I mean, if that's not Luciferian sounding, I don't know what is.
It absolutely is.
And yeah.
I would love to have the time to just really explore all this for people. But the fact of the matter is, if anybody really wants to understand the mentality and why the Illuminati are so pervasive within our society, why at least, literally, folks, I really think at least a third of our own population has gone over to the other side. Because they're being promised a piece of the pie, whatever is left.
We
know that they want to reduce the population. So that's why, you know, I'm kind of one of those opposite types, Elaine. When somebody says don't do something, I'm thinking, well, how can I do that anyway?
Right.
And so when they say reduce the population, maybe we should just start making more babies, folks. I don't know. Well, anyway, we got a break coming up. We'll be back with the last segment with Elaine and finish up some comments on this and some suggestions for what you can do. And we'll be back in about 3 minutes here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gather from the plain, shouting the battle cry of freedom.
Welcome back, America. Wingate here with Elaine on Republic Broadcasting Network with our last segment here. As we went to the break, I was mentioning that I got some suggestions for you on how to learn about this, but also think about it this way. These things that the whatever participatory level you are in the fight for freedom, take a look at the things that are going on. And Elaine already mentioned about the agent provocateurs that try to sneak into their compound, as they call it. I always laugh when they say that, the compound, you know, it's his house. Hey. Anyway, they talk about the agent provocateurs that are coming in that are trying to make things happen and to spy, so to speak. We've known for years that agent provocateurs have gotten into the various patriot groups. And what I'm suggesting is one of the ways that you can see and understand who is a provocateur is that if primarily their goal seems to be causing division and problems and people splitting up and not working together for the common goal of liberty for all, then you got to question the motives. And you know, some may be sincerely deluded, egotistical on their very own, but others, because of the pervasiveness that we know of the Illuminati conspiracy or the One Worlders or whatever terminology you want to throw at them, that they are have agents that are out there, and their job is to cause problems, division, and people not working together.
Yep.
Because they know if we unite together in a common cause, just like those guys in Athens, Tennessee, did to get rid of that the bad and corrupt government, they know that if we were to do the same thing, they might lose power, prestige.
Mm-hmm.
This book and read it. Secondly, you can easily go to your public library and start reading through Foreign Affairs Magazine. Foreign Affairs Magazine is the official magazine publication of the Council on Foreign Relations. And in that, they float ideas and concepts and things that they want to accomplish and they want to do. You need to understand the enemy, how the enemy thinks, what the enemy's goals are, what they want, you know, what they want to accomplish to be able to understand how to fight against the enemy. And if you don't know that, you're going into a battle blind. And that's silly. And Ed, I'm sure, would tell us, you read Sun Tzu, you know You have to understand the enemy, what the enemy wants to do, and you have to understand the terrain and all the art of war. Because this is what we are actually in, folks, is a war. A war for our freedom, a war for our future. It's a war for the lives of our children and our grandchildren. What kind of a country are they going to live in? And it's time we start making a decision to stand up and fight this fight smart, instead of it being some kind of, I got my group and we're gonna make money off of, we're gonna be patriots. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody needs money to operate, and I'm not criticizing anybody who's got anything to sell, because I sell stuff too. But the bigger picture isn't the stuff that we sell. The bigger picture is, are we working and cooperating together toward the common good, or are we splittering off into little splinter groups that can easily be squashed?
Right.
So today, folks, has been a call for working together and examining on whose side and really thinking about. So I suggest you get that book, read through it, understand, and we're going to go from there. Talk to you again.